flex sharp. Let's go to Omer. Happy or sad?
Okay, so
is this
yes,
from the
Sefer Mitzvot? It's a bad time.
No, obviously not.
We did do Sfiras Omer, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa in the Sefer Mitzvot. We've done it before.
Yeah.
So today I want to do it in a slightly different way because it's on our minds because we're in the middle. I think it was 141. I can't remember off the top of my head. But today what I'd like to look at is the interaction of halacha and philosophy is the wrong word, but maybe emotion, the experiential part of Sfiras Omer. By starting with a silly question, which is Sfiras HaOmer a happy period or a sad period? Okay. It's true that there's better choices.
Okay.
And
you needed a title.
Right. And that in halacha, sometimes the experience is combined with happy and sad together.
Right.
It doesn't have to be binary.
Okay.
But in all events, our experience is obviously
sad.
Most people, right.
Sad, yeah.
Because
an epidemic.
Right. The way we experience Sfira is,
yeah.
We got to wait till Lag BaOmer if we're regular, you know, Ashkenazim, because then we can start shaving again. You know, however it is, you shave on Fridays. You don't go to the movies. It's strange.
But
when
it
you
always,
look,
but what's always like that?
Of course, when you look in the Torah, there's absolutely no hint whatsoever to Sfira HaOmer. In fact, the opposite. In the Torah, well, you know, you could argue it. There's nothing particularly happy about Sfiras HaOmer in the Torah, except for it bridges the time between Pesach and Shavuos, which presumably, you know, they're two happy periods. If you'd asked me, I would have said, you look in the Torah, you don't know anything about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who, by the way, died, you know, 14 centuries after the Torah was given. It's clear that there probably was no hint of any kind of sadness in Sfiras HaOmer before that period of time. And again, I would have said it was happy, and then something happened, and then it was sad. Now, that's a pretty big jump. Where Chazal, you know, we've talked about this before, I won't talk about it much today, but, you know, okay, it's a tragedy of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. So they turn this happy period of counting from Pesach to Shavuos into a period of mourning. You know, that's pretty bold. And Chazal have great authority within Halacha, but it's still, it strikes me at least as being a lot, and maybe even being too much.
Didn't we once say, Rav Otero, that you're not supposed to eat chumas? So is this an eid chumas Chacham did about not shaving and not...
You're not allowed to eat chumas? What do you mean?
There's a comment about that.
What do you mean? What do you think we
created?
We created Tisha B'Av. We created Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We created Tzom Gedalia. Chazal certainly have the right to add Nihuge Avelos when there's something to be mourned. Right? There's no doubt about that. This isn't, even if we could discuss they have the right to create Chumras or not, they certainly have the right, you know. We would not object if the Rabbanut HaRashid, you know, creates Yom HaShoah. No one's going, wait, what are you doing? You have no right to do it. Of course they have a right to do that. It's not so much creating a new halacha as implementing an existing one, which is, there's something to mourn about. Let's have communal mourning. So just to help, you know, make the question even stronger, look at source number one. Even before we look at the Pesukim, we'll look at source number one, which is the Ramban in the... It's the Ramban in the Kabbalistic section of the Ramban, which is what most people skip.
Yeah.
But here, there's something really accessible, and it helps make the point. Says the Ramban in Parshas Amor, during his explanation of the Mordos, he says, "V'tziva b'chag ha-matzot shiva yamim b'kdusha lifnehem ul'achareyem." Pesach is 7 days. "Ki kulam kidoshim u'b'tocham Hashem." Okay, I know what that pasuk means, what it's doing here, what the Ramban's deeper meanings are, I'm not so sure. And then he says, "Umana mimenu tisha v'arba'im yom, shiva shavuot kimei olam." You count 49 days from Pesach. Keneged kimei olam. Why? The world was created in 7 days. So 7 times 7 in Kabbalah and elsewhere, you know, it refers to the creation of the world. V'kadesh yom shmini kishmini shel chag. What's Shavuos in the Ramban's telling?
It's
the eighth day of Pesach. Right? Pesach is 7 days, Kimei Olam, the creation of the world. Count 49 days, it doesn't work exactly. And now have an eighth day, which is like the eighth day of Sukkos. The eighth day of Sukkos is called Shemini Atzeres. Says the Ramban, the eighth day of Pesach is, we call it Shavuos, but it's really the eighth day of Pesach. Wait, let's give our regular seats back.
Harvey?
For Harvey,
okay. I did not start early. That's the official
exactly
clock.
Exactly.
Harvey's contemplating not going to Toronto because I want to miss this year.
I myself am not going to Toronto.
You should go and give a shear.
I think.
It's better.
All expenses paid.
Okay. To go to Toronto now, wow. That's really something. Okay. So, the way the Ramban is setting this up, having nothing to do with the shear, the way the Ramban is setting up is fascinating, really. We think there's three regalim, there's really only two, right? There's a 7 day holiday called Sukkos, and an additional day called Atzeres, relating
later
to Sukkos. There's a 7 day holiday called Pesach, and an additional day called Atzeres in the Torah. We call it Shavuos. One second. Okay. Now here's the line I wanted to show you. V'hayamim hasfurim b'intayim, and the days that you count between the first part of the holiday of Pesach and the second part of the holiday of Pesach, k'cholo shel moed bein harishon v'hashmini b'chag. Says the Ramban, Sfiras HaOmer is chol hamoed between Pesach and Shavuos.
That's
one second.
Why you wouldn't shave.
Huh?
That's why you wouldn't shave. That's chol hamoed.
No, now you're just confusing. The one thing I can say definitively is that the Ramban did not go to the movies during Sfiras HaOmer.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that has anything to do with his take on happy or sad. But here you see, you know, it's inconceivable. The Ramban refers to, you know, Sfiras HaOmer as chol hamoed. Obviously the Ramban saw it, not just in a positive light, but as days of simcha and days of joy, connecting, you know, what I would say, connecting Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Okay? So you just start from that premise. The premise that now, by the way, the Ramban lived well after Rabbi Akiva and his Talmud, so he knew that. So I'm not saying the Ramban is taking a stand on. The Ramban is reading Psukim of the Torah. And he's saying at least within the Torah, Sfiras HaOmer is a joyous occasion. Sfiras HaOmer is K'chol HaMoed. And that phrase leaves no doubt, Chol HaMoed is not a time of Avelos. Okay? Again, this is not to say that the Ramban was not knowing Avelos because of the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but what he's saying is, in the Torah at least, this is a happy period of time. Okay. Now, with that as an introduction, what I want to do is look at something really fascinating, which is a machlokes about whether Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh Es Doraisa Drabanan. It's very famous. But what I think is, what comes out of it is a different approach to Sfiras HaOmer. It really might matter in terms of how we look at it and how we're supposed to feel. Normally, if I ask you, what's the difference? Let's say, every night during Sfiras HaOmer we make a bracha, we count. What's the difference whether that's a Doraisa or a Drabanan?
If you forget to count.
Yeah, then what?
Well, the Suffolk brachas lahakil if it's the Rabbanan, and then technically...
Okay, that's an excellent point. Normally we say, the easiest case, Sveika Doraisa l'chumra, Sveika Drabanan l'kula, but here it really doesn't make a difference. Because, even if it's Drabanan, so just say, Hayom Asara Yamim Sheim Shavu Achadu Shalshayim La'omer, meaning... We care about Drabanans also. All we do is we wouldn't make a bracha levatala for them.
Right.
But here's the thing. For a do, you missed both. You missed it. La'omer and Ba'omer. Okay. Even if it's a Doraisa, if you're besafek, you would probably count and not make a bracha. Because the bracha is probably Drabanan anyway. There are no... The universe of brachos doraisa consists of benching and maybe birchas haTorah. That's it. Okay? So there are things we could find, but it shouldn't be significant halachically, really, whether you do it to Rais or Rabbanah. But I think it is significant philosophically. Now, let's start with the Psukim and see. Just if we look at nothing other than source number two, the Pasuk in Amor, what would our take be on whether Sfira Salmer is a Rais or Drabanim is Manazah? So, wait. You gotta give me a chance. Now, okay, to a certain extent, one side, it's a fair point. If it's a Pasuk in Vayikra, so we would start with the premise that, okay, I missed that subtlety. Yes, that's a fair point. But now, now let's look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Usvartem Mimash. Okay, we count Mimachrat HaShabbat. We could spend hours on the machlokis between the Tzdukim and us about Shabbat. But we, for very good reason, understand Machrat HaShabbat to mean the day after Pesach. That means we're talking about Motzei Chag. There's one day of Yantif.
Right.
And, okay, or in the old days, it would be the night of the second Seder. In our previous lives, it would be the night of the second Seder. Okay? So you count Mimachrat HaShabbat, Miyom Haviachem et Omer HaTnufa. That's, by the way, where we got the name Omer, Svirat HaOmer. Omer is a measurement. Miyom Haviachem et Omer HaTnufa, when you brought what was called the Karban HaOmer, which was harvested, it's the first offering of barley. It was harvested Motzei Pesach, and the next morning you brought a Karban Mincha of the Karban HaOmer. Again, Omer being, it's interesting, when my wife was in graduate school in NYU, so she had a professor who came to her and said, isn't the Omer, he was not Jewish, but he's very smart, he said, isn't the Omer a measurement of barley for, so she said, yes, why? So he said, I got a guy in my class who refuses to shave because of the Omer. So, you know, the guy didn't know what the, you know, it's just interesting, but that's what it means, okay? So, Miyom HaVeyachem at Omer HaTnufa, from the day that you bring the Karban HaOmer, Sheva Shabbatot Mirot Tiyana, count 7 full weeks, Ad Mimacharat HaShabbat HaShvi'it Tisbru Chamishim Yom, until the morrow of the 50th day, you should keep till the morrow of the end of the 7 full weeks, count 50 days, v'hikravtem mincha chadasha l'Hashem. And on that day, which we know of as Shavuos, you bring another karban, this one called the karban shtei halachem. Okay, wait, no distracting yet. First, you read the psukim, okay? Sfirasom bizman hazeh, doraiso adrabanan. And you have to back up your opinion.
I would still say Dereis because it's Sfatim Lechem.
Okay, good, good.
And the Pasuk says it.
Okay, fine. What's the other reading? I need a Drabanan. By the way, the good... Well, I should just break the news to you. Most people think it's Drabanan.
Maybe you need a better mikdash.
There's no Korban Omer.
It's a Korban.
The Pasuk says, when do you start counting? Miyom HaViyachem et Omer HaTnufa. So the question is, and it's easy to read it two different ways. And we'll see this in the Gemara also. One second, me first. One reading is, I start counting Miyom HaViyachem et Omer HaTnufa for the day I bring the Karban HaOmer. No Karban HaOmer, no beginning of counting. Or, the other explanation is, no, that's just a way of identifying the day. The Torah could have said, you know, Miyom Shisha Asar B'Nisa. The Torah says, Miyom HaViyachem et Omer HaTnufa. The Torah also says, Usfartem Lechem Imacharat HaShabbat. Right, it's just descriptive. Macharat HaShabbat means, what day is that? That's Miyom HaViyachem et Omer HaTnufa. But even without Miyom HaViyachem et Omer HaTnufa, I would still know that I start counting Macharat HaShabbat. So just before you even get to the Gemara, I think fairly you could read this pasuk in one of two ways. You could read this saying, this is a mitzvah to count. Why would I change that mitzvah? It's true, there's no Karban HaOmer, but that's not really why you're counting. You're just counting from that day. That would have one meaning. The other is no, it's contingent on the Karban HaOmer. I can tell you the following. Everybody counts three mitzvahs, three separate mitzvahs from these psukim. Mitzvah of bringing Karban HaOmer, a mitzvah of counting from the Karban HaOmer, and a third mitzvah of on Shavuos bringing a Karban called the Shalachem, all of which are here. Again, you could argue that they're contingent, you could argue that they're independent. It's clear that we don't have a Karban HaOmer, we don't have a Karban Shtei Alechem Bizman HaZeh, but we could still have a mitzvah d'oraisa of counting. What we would have to do then is separate it from the karbanot, which isn't hard for us to do, because every single person, when he counts, is counting towards Matan Torah. Right, none of us count towards the carbon. We never, we never did the carbon.
Well, yes. It's not a Durbanan idea. I mean, there's no derived hint of that counting towards the Torah. It's clearly a carbon related. But my question is, since this year, would they have cut the barley on Shabbat?
Absolutely.
And therefore, isn't that a hint that it's deraita?
Yeah, but it was deraita. Of course, it was. When you cut the barley, you bring a carbon home.
Yes. So when we ask, is it Durbanan?
No, we're asking Bisman Hazeh. Of course it was Doraisa. I'm sorry, I should have made that clear. L'chol Hadeos, Sfira Saomer, when there was a Karban HaOmer, was a Doraisa, like the Karban HaOmer. And in fact...
So you just given away the why it may be Durbanan.
Yeah, I'm not looking to hide it. Yeah, it's without the Karban, it might be Durbanan. Just interesting, just to take off of Bruce's point, the Mishnayos in Menachos, it's funny, we don't... It is true that the development of halacha and how we do certain things was impacted by history and by opponents. So, based on the fact that the Tzdukim claimed that it's always a Saturday night, right? Machras HaShabbos means. So, we made a big deal, especially on Shabbos, of the Mishnah describes a ceremony when they, and they're all standing there and the Kohen says, "Should I cut?" And they go, yeah, harumph, and he says, should I, it's clear that ceremony grew up to prove to everybody, some mitzvos were zoche to ceremonies just to make a point. And there's no question about it. The Mishnah is very clear that the Kitzira Saomer ceremony became a bigger deal because the Tzdukim opposed it. Otherwise, it may not have been such a big deal. And that's completely legitimate. Okay, fine. Those are the psukim. Now let's look at the Gemara. And the Gemara is great because the Gemara can be read in at least two ways. And one of the negatives of Art Scroll and the whole generation that we're in, fairness, which has been a very helpful thing to many people, is that it gives you the pshat in the Gemara, so you never get the chance to say, wait, what does this really mean? And you never get the chance to intuit different understandings. But watch what happens
just
here.
Read it wrong.
Says the Gemara. In the Gemara in Menachos Samach Vav Amun Aleph. Gufa. Amar Abaye. Mitzvah lemimni yomei u'mitzvah lemimni shavuei. Abaye says, I look in the Pasuk. The Pasuk talks about Sheva Shabbatot mimotiyana. And the Pasuk talks about Tisperu Chamishim Yom. So Abaye says, I see within this two components. Maybe you could even argue two separate mitzvot, but I see two components. And by the way, that's what we do, right? Hayom asar yamim, shehem shavua achad, plus, okay, we're counting days and weeks. Rabbanan devei Ravashi, mane yome umane shvui. Rabbanan following Ravashi, who followed Abaye, do what we do. They count days and weeks. Excellent. Now, strange shita. Ameimar mane yome v'lo mane shivuei. Ameimar said, no, I count only days, I don't count weeks. Now that's strange. Right? The Pasuk is clear that there's days and weeks. So what in the world is Ameimar saying that I only count the days and I don't count the weeks? So he says, Amar zecher lemikdash hu. That's the whole Gemara. Somebody, take a shot at it.
Zecher to the destruction of the Mikdash.
First of all, Ameimar, Doraisa, Drabanan.
Drabanan,
for sure.
Yeah.
Every single time you see Zecher le Mikdash, it means it happened after the Torah. Right? It means it was instituted later on. So on some level, Ameimar is saying, it's only Drabanan. But that's still weird. Okay, that's part of it. But so what?
He wants to minimize the full aspect of the mitzvah to show that it's not deraita anymore.
Okay. Could you find me any other examples? I'll give you an example, just to prove that you're wrong, although I think you're right. We do. Here's a good example. We'll come back to this later. The mitzvah of Dalet Minim is only one day in the Torah. U'lekachtem lachem bayom harishon pri'etz hadar. It's one day. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was 7 days. Okay? After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mitakein zecher lemikdash, that we're gonna take dalad minim all 7 days of Sukkos, even outside of the Yerushalayim. Lovely. So, according to Bruce's theory, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says it's zecher lemikdash, right? We're gonna take dalad minim, but you know what? Let's only take, you know, one alulav. You know, instead of doing the whole thing, we'll make it clear that it's drabanan, we'll just take a lulav. So that way we'll remember, well, you do a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah. It's strange to say, let's do a mitzvah, but let's do only part of the mitzvah. Which is what Amemar seems to be saying. But even before that, because this is important for halacha, what's the mach? Okay, so Amemar says it's drabanan. What's the first shita? What's the is the machlokas in the Gemara doraisa drabanan or not? Anyone understand what I'm saying? Ameimar comes along and says we can only count the zeichel mikdash, so he thinks it's drabanan. Mm-hmm. What about Abaye, the first sheet in the Gemara? Abaye says you have to count days and weeks. Does he think it's doraisa or drabanan?
Doraisa.
No, it's hard to say.
How do you know?
Yeah,
you don't know.
So the answer is you don't know. A fair reading of the Gemara, I think, is there are two possibilities. Look at Rashi right there. Rashi in the second line says, "Amei my money yomer v'lo money shivui, Amar, hai minyana dehashta lav chovahu, counting bizman hazeh is not obligatory. Why? Leka omer, because there's no carbon omer. Ela zecher lemikdash ba'almahu, hilkach biyomei sagi." So therefore, I'm only going to do part of the mitzvah. I'll only count days. So on some level, the possibilities are as follows. Both the machlokis is doraisa drabanan. Abaye, the first shita, says, no, it's doraisa bizman hazeh. Therefore, I count days and weeks. And Ameima comes along and says, no, it's only drabanan. Therefore, I only count days. Or, they both agree that it's drabanan.
Right.
It's just the machlokis is whether I do the full drabanan Ka'ain the Doraisa, it's exactly as the Doraisa. Oh no, I just do counting days and not counting weeks. Okay, so most people understand Rashi to think that they both think it's Drabanan. Everybody quotes Rashi saying, Sreso Mizman says Drabanan. The Machlokis is Drabanan, but look like the Doraisa, or Drabanan like Amemar, and therefore only count days and not weeks. The person who everybody understands reads the Gemara as a machlokes doraisa drabanan, and paskins like Rabbanan that it's doraisa is the Rambam. Look at number 4. The Rambam Hilchos Tmidim and Musafim at the end says as follows: Mitzvat asei lispor sheva Shabbatot tmimot. There's a positive commandment in the Torah to count 7 full weeks. Miyom haviyachem et omer atenufa, from the day that you bring the wave offering of the Omer, shenemar svartem lachem imacharat haShabbat sheva Shabbatot tmimot yena, umitzvah limnot hayamim imashavuot, and of course you have to count days and weeks. Shenemar tisbru chamishim yom. The Rambam just tells you umitchilat hayom, you have to start counting from the beginning of the day because of tmimot. Lefikach mone balayla milel shisha asar b'nisan. Therefore, you start counting at night from the 16th of Nisan. And then, okay, here you don't really know how he holds with respect to Bizman Hazeh, but then 2 halachos later in Halacha Chaf Dalet he says, Mitzvah zo al kol ish mi Yisrael, this is a mitzvah on each individual, uvechol makom uvechol zman, means it's independent of the Beis HaMikdash, it's independent of being in the land of Israel, it's a mitzvah sasei min haTorah Bizman Hazeh, v'nashim v'avadim piturim mimena. Okay, and women, presumably it's a classic mitzvah seishas man groma, although that's also an interesting discussion.
Counting days, aren't you also counting weeks? I mean, 7 times, and the arithmetic is the same.
Yes.
So what are we arguing about?
Right, so it's interesting. You're absolutely right that anybody could say, well, if tonight is 14, I could do the math. It happens to me that the Torah says, count 50 days, and the Torah says count 7 weeks. And so I think, not just Kabbalistically, but I think when you think about it after you read the Ramban, and you know, there's something beautiful about the 7-week cycle. Right? There's something beautiful about a week of 7 days. Every single thing we have calendarically in the world is related to nature. So a solar calendar is 365 days because that's the cycle around the sun. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And, you know, a lunar year in the Jewish calendar is 12 cycles of the moon. And a month in the Jewish calendar is one cycle of the moon. What's a week?
Astronomical.
Nothing. A week is what God took to create the world. It's the most religious of, but it's the magic number in Judaism. Right? A week represents nature. So I think, of course you can do the math, but I think there's something significant about counting weeks. It's some, there's something religious about counting weeks. I think about this all the time.
Maybe it's
you know,
the first one that gets us.
Well, we're going to make that point in a second, for sure. Every place in the world has a week of 7 days, right? Which is completely religious. It's just fascinating that you're an atheist, agnostic, whatever. There was a time...
The French Revolution,
you know,
they tried 10 days. It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, but, much like the French Revolution itself.
Yes.
It was a failure. Okay?
It's just like the French.
Huh?
It's like the Holy Roman Empire. It wasn't holy, it wasn't Roman, it wasn't Empire. Okay.
Correct. None of the stuff works. It's just, it's just fascinating to me that the week, you know, doesn't correspond to anything, and it's universal.
It knocked the block.
But the week is a religious cycle. It's purely religious, and so there's no question that a week represents the period of time in which God created the world, and 7 times 7 represents the ultimate in nature. And to do it the day after is the 8th. Not to go off on a whole tangent here, but it's a beautiful idea in the Torah. 8 always symbolizes the Maral says, the level above nature. Mm-hmm. Right? The first 8 in the Torah is what?
The Brit.
Bris Milah. And it says here, Ani Kael, the Pasuk there describes God for the first time as Ani Kael Shakai. What's Kael Shakai? So the Gemara says, Kael Sha'amar La'olam Dai. Meaning that I decided to end creation. God did not create a perfect world. As we all know, God created the world, which is cancer and tragedies and death. God told us to perfect the world. The first step towards doing that is Bris Milah, right? Shmini Atzeres is thought of as being a day above nature, a day just with God. There are no mitzvahs, just like Shavuos is the 8th day. There are no mitzvahs. We just read last week, Vahi Bayom HaShmini, right? The Beis Hamikdash was dedicated because it's above nature. God appeared to them after 7 days of Miluim, the 8th day. That's the number system, and it works. So I think that, of course, you could have counted without the weeks, but the weeks give more religious content to the day. And of course, everybody knows Shemitah is a 7-year cycle, and Yovel is 7 times 7. You know, the numbers are significant. You don't have to be some Kabbalist to realize that these numbers are significant. And I think that's clearly playing out in Sfiras Homa.
Rambam doesn't answer your question.
Rambam doesn't have to answer our questions.
He doesn't give a reason why.
Correct.
He's holding that it's Midoraita.
So, first of all, the Rambam doesn't give reasons, but I think the answer is clear. The Rambam reads the Psukim. The Rambam, first of all, go backwards. This is the fair way to do it. The Rambam reads the Gemara. The simple answer is the Rambam paskins like Chachamim in the Gemara. And the Rambam understands Chachamim to say there's a mitzvah l'minei yomei, a mitzvah l'minei shavuei, because it's Doraisa. Now, why did they think that? So my guess is the Rambam thinks that they thought that, the same reason we think. That when you read the Psukim, it's an identifier of the day, but the mitzvah of Sfiras Homer is independent. And
why
I can find...
Why he doesn't hold that Hakel is a meteorite, and because... There's a parallel here between...
There are tons of parallels, but each time you have to ask yourself the same question. Is it contingent or not? So you could say simply, the mitzvah of Hakel is a mitzvah on the Melech. So the Rambam would say, get me a king. Right? No, I'm not joking. I'm saying each time you have to do the analysis, you have to say, presumably not to start a riot, the Rambam would think that if you brought a Korban Pesach Bizman Hazeh, it would be Doraisa. Right, you have to do that for each mitzvah. I think that's a fair analysis. I think it's oversimplification to say, oh, the Rambam thinks all these things are done. I think each time you have to look and ask yourself how much the Rambam thinks Moror Bisman Hazeh is Drabanan. Why? Because the Rambam looks in the Pesukim and can't find a reference to Mar that's not contingent on Korban Pesach. So it's not part of some global strategy, right? And it's not Zionist, so it's just each mitzvah on its own.
Is it clear that this mitzvah is on all the people as
yeah.
opposed to
a thousand? That the Rambam's making that point. And that's why, something I don't want to talk about, but fascinatingly, the other count of seven Shemitos to Yovel, we don't do it. That's a Beis Din mitzvah.
Right? That's why
right? But there, it's said in the singular. We have Usfartem Lachem, but there it says V'Safarta Lacha Sheva Shabsos Shanim. And the Gemara says, written in the singular, it's the mitzvah on Klal Yisrael through the Beis Din. Written in the plural, it's each of us. For example, Ulekachtem Lachem Mimacharat. Ulekachtem Lachem Bayom Arishon Pri Eitz Hadar. Right? Nobody thinks, great, I'll save some money. Beis Din could buy Dalad Minim. Let them waive it for me. The general rule is that when it's written in the plural, it means each of us. When it's written in the singular, it means Beis Din. The general rule. Okay.
So the phrase where he says kol ish, that means every man, because there's a qualification that the Nashim school said.
Right.
So is that the...
That's how the Rambam is saying it. Okay. Good. Just as a tangent, but as long as it came up. There's a good chumrah to keep. It's a funny thing. The minhag developed that the rabbi or the chazan counts first. Why did that minhag develop?
Because he knew.
Because somebody has to tell you what night it is.
Right.
So that, you know, it's clear that you want to make a bracha knowing what night it is. The problem with it is that when he makes a bracha and you say amen,
right.
You know, maybe he could be. So the frum people have in mind not to be yotze. It's the same thing, but it's not a bad thing. You know, you could argue and say, well, it's ridiculous. Obviously, I didn't plan to be yotze because I'm about to make my own bracha. But it is a nice chumrah. The same thing exists, by the way, if you want to do a frum thing before halal. Right? If he makes a bracha and you say amen, are you supposed to make your own bracha? So okay, you know, it's nice to have in mind that you're going to make your own bracha. It helps you focus on the mitzvah. Same thing with Sfiras HaOmer. I think you could still make your own bracha if you didn't have that in mind.
And not say amen, or to say amen to have in mind.
I think you say amen so you're not parish, me not tzibur, but you have in mind that you're about to make your own bracha. I think you could do it anyway.
So you're suggesting that if you say amen, you don't actually have to say your
own. No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just okay. I dropped what I think is a fun chumrah. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. I'm just saying, generally speaking, when you listen to someone make a bracha and you say amen, you know, at least in theory, at least in theory. But lemaisa, I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Does our practice also make it 49 brachot, because we're making brachas every night, as opposed to one, like at the end?
So I would love to be able to tie, you know, the machlokas, the Oraisi Rabbana, to how many brachas we make, but nobody does that.
Yeah.
Midrabbanan, you count every night. Midoraisi, you count every night. You know, it's an interesting discussion. But I do want to try to tie it and to come back to this idea again. We understand everything, but we're stuck with this bizarre sheet of Ameimar, who says it's Zecher LeMikdash, as a result of which I'm only do part of it, right? Which is weird. There's another weird thing with respect to Sfiras. There's a bunch of things, but the one that most people ask about is the classic rule is a mitzvah haba mizman lizman. A mitzvahs that are not available all year long that you only do from time to time, they get a bracha of Shechianu. Lulav gets Shechianu, you know, Dalad Minim gets Shechianu, you know, Pesach gets a Shechianu. There's always a Shechianu related somehow to a new mitzvah, to a mitzvah that you don't do. Where's the Shechianu for the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer?
There isn't.
There isn't.
Or you can say you make two.
I ask again, where's the Shechianu?
You can make two. First, when you on Pesach night you're making a Shechianu, you can have a mind possibly for the Sfira, and also on Shavuot you're making a Shechianu.
Okay, so you're saying it's secretly hidden.
Right.
There is a Shechianu, just not said on that night.
For example,
because it's all great, except you're saying the Shechianu we make on Pesach goes for mitzvah we do the next day, and the Shechianu we make on Shavuos goes for mitzvah we do the next day.
No,
the day before. Sorry.
No, because on Pesach in Chutz Lartz, making Shechianu was second night.
No, now you're completely wrong. Because you can, no, I want to talk about it, but you can never go to that. Because that's not how it developed.
Yeah. Okay.
The mitzvah of the Omer is you count the complete Omer, and therefore on the completion you say the Shechianu.
Good. All of these are good theories. But I have a Bala Mar here who's going to ask this question. Yeah. who thinks you're wrong. Yeah. Which I want to use. It's an interesting question. You want to say something or we're good?
I'm saying it lays credence to the idea that if you make Shechianu on the first day, and there's no reason to, in terms of this argument of whether or not it's Midoraita or Midorabbanan, mm-hmm. that if you don't have a separate Shechianu, that it takes away the idea of.
No, we make Shechianus on Drabbanas also. That's which is why it's an interesting question, but it won't have any.
But we don't say a Shechianu on Omer, on Sfirat Omer.
Correct.
And therefore, maybe that means that it is. Even in a time when you don't have the Omer and the Shtelechem,
yeah.
it is de Rabbanan and not a de Raita because
okay.
you stripped it from the two. The
but
two
so, but why would but we still would make a Shechianu on a de Rabbanan?
But because okay, so if you
let's see. Correct, Purim Chanukah we make on de Rabbanan. Okay, here we go. Look at the Bala Mar. I want to read a bunch of this because it's fantastic. The Bala Mar says as follows: Ubisira Saomer Yesha Shoale, Ma Taam Ein Anu Omrim Bozman. Why don't we say Shechianu? Zman is the way the Gemara says the bracha of Shechianu. That's question number one. Now, just since the great questions, Va'od, Ma Taam Ein Anu Sofrim Below Bracha Biyom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach Kida Amrina LeInyan Sukkah Bishmini Safek Shvii. Okay, I'll explain. This is fantastic. What happens, we don't have the same one because we live in Israel. What did you used to do on Shmini Atzeres of Sukkos in terms of sitting in a sukkah?
Sitting in a sukkah without making a
sukkah. So the question, why don't you just sit in a sukkah? It's Yontov Sheni. So the answer is if you sit in a sukkah, you're saying it's still Sukkos, and it's not Shmini Atzeres. There's a clash.
You don't say
when you could be Machmir, so fine, you could be Machmir, no big deal. But this is a situation where you can't be Machmir, because to be Machmir in Sukkos is to be Mekil in Shmini Atzeres. So the Gemara says, Yesuve Yasvinan, sit in a Sukkah, Bruche Lomavarchina, but don't make a bracha. Like we're going to fake it out somehow. Yeah, it's just a nice day. As a person who spent 18 consecutive years for Shmini Atzeres in Montreal, there's no nice days in October in Montreal. Fine. You sit in a
18 years ago.
Kaminyan Chai.
Wow.
Yes, because I have keyword of A.
What'd you do there?
You paid your dues.
Well, what's that?
What's
that?
What do you mean? I do my in-laws lived in my father worked on Yontif. He's a rabbi. So he could come to us.
Like
okay.
Canadian?
Okay. It's beautiful. Okay, anyway. So yes. So now ask the Bala Mar, hey, why don't we do the same thing on Sfira Omer? Meaning when you start, you live in Chutz La'aretz, right? So the second night of Pesach, you make a Seder. But wait, you just counted Sfira Omer, which means you think it's Mimachras HaShabbos. Mm. Right? Aren't those two things inconsistent? So the Bala Mar is this bizarre thing. Hey, why don't we count without a bracha the first night, like sitting in a sukkah, because it won't look like it's hysterical, except it's the Bala Mar. So if I did, it would just be a stupid question. But the Bala Mar does, it's brilliant. Okay. Okay. Go to 1, 2, 3, 4. Va'od. Fourth line in the middle. Va'od. Ma tam ein anu sofrim shtei sfirot misafek. If we're going to take seriously in Chutz La'aretz that we don't know what day it is, so why don't we count, you know, the second night, we'll say, tonight is either one or two. And then the third night, we'll say, you know, right? In Chutz La'aretz, how do you do laning on Sukkot?
Right,
you lane alternate days.
Right.
Because maybe, he says, let's do the same thing.
Yeah,
so he has a series of questions. Yeah. And he answers as follows. It's not a great answer, but you got to get used to it. Fifth line. fifth word in on the fifth line. Uklalo shel davar. Ein lanu lahachmir bisfirata omer. She'eino ela lezecher ba'alma. We're not going to be, they're all good questions. He says, we're not going to be machmir with respect to Sfiras, meaning we're not going to say Shechianu, we're not going to do all these other things, because it's Zecher Ba'alma. He's not saying that it's not Drabanan, but it's like a sad Drabanan, right? And if you skip a little bit, he goes to Ar Gemara, and then he goes there, V'apishan umonu yom mushvuos minhag hu biyadeinu, it's just a minhag, avalahatino zman. But to add on the brach of Shechianu ain lanu. We don't have the right to do that. Va'od. Here's the real point. Shelo matzinu birkat zman, ela bidavar sheyesh bo shum hana'a. The brach of Shechianu is only made where you get joy, pleasure. Kigon etilat lulav shuba l'simcha. Taking a lulav is a joyous act. Utkiat shofar, which is the zikaron ben Yisrael Aviyam, blowing shofar is a joyous act. Mikra Megillah, that's a joyous act because God saved us. Pidyon Haben is a joyous act.
He says Shechianu Kol Nidre.
Pidyon Haben is a joyous act because the child is going to live. He's got more than 30 days old. I'll come back to you in a second. At very end, but ulisfirat ta'amar, end of the last full line. Ein bo zecher l'shum hana'a. Ela le'agmat nafshenu lechurban beit ma'avayenu. But he says, Sfira Sa'omer is not happy. Sfira Sa'omer is sad because it reminds us of what we're missing. It reminds us of the fact that we don't have a karban ha'omer. It reminds us of the fact that we don't have a karban shtei halechem. So he says, you know why, one second, he says, you know why we don't say Shechianu on Sfira Sa'omer? Because Shechianu is a joyous blessing. And Sfira Sa'omer, although presumably he thinks it's a drabanan, he thinks it's a sad drabanan. He takes seriously the fact that Amemar says Zecher LeMikdash, and he says in this context, Zecher LeMikdash is sad. And therefore we're not going to make a Shechianu. He says when you take a lulav, that's a joyous act. When you blow shofar, that's a joyous act. You do all these other things. But here there's nothing left.
One second.
He knows your question. Here there's nothing left. And so therefore, since there's nothing left, it's just a sad, when you count Sfira Soma, and this is the point I wanted to make, he's not talking about Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. He says, the mitzvah changed. It changed out of necessity, because we're just doing it now to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we have to answer real questions. First of all, the answer to your question, Mr. Levy, is yes, Shechianu on Yom Kippur is joyous. You're supposed to have in mind that God gave us an opportunity, that once a year God's going to forgive us, and therefore it is supposed to be joyous. Quick.
Now, according to this, you shouldn't make a Shechianu on Pesach either, because you don't have the carbon Pesach. So right. You're celebrating Zeser.
So let's try to sort it out. Nobody doubts that the mitzvah of keeping the holiday of Pesach is Doraisa Bizman Hazeh. It's not Zecher L'Chorban. So if we did something, on Pesach that was Zecher L'Chorban, maybe you'd be right. But we're not making a Shechianu. We don't make a Shechianu on Korban Pesach. We don't do anything for Korban Pesach. It's true, but we do it for the holiday of Pesach, and of course that's joyous.
The Shechianu is on Korban Matzah, not
on
Korban Pesach.
You have mind borrowing cases.
Great. What's the difference?
No,
we still the Baal Amor made a Shechianu on Shavuos. He doesn't think Shavuos is sad. He thinks Sfira Somer is the issue. Now, let me make this point. This is a Rav Soloveitchik point, but it's a really, really good one. Rav Soloveitchik said, I don't understand. How do you know when something is sad and when something is happy? So, for example, look, we talked about this quickly. We'll look at it in number 6. We've mentioned this before. The Mishnah says, Barishona haya lulav nita b'mikdash shiva. Originally, there was a mitzvah of Dalad Minim, all 7 days of Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash, u'b'medina yom echad, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, only the first day. Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, she'ilulav nital b'medina shiva, zecher l'mikdash. Okay? He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, exactly like the takana of Sfira Sa'omer, that lulav should be nital b'medina kol shiva, zecher l'mikdash. But when we do, we don't feel sad. Baal Amor himself talked about lulav as being a happy thing. Not only that, what's the din if you forgot to make a shachianu on the first day when you took your dalad minyan?
Do it the next day.
Do it the next day. Do it the third day. Do it the fourth day. Yeah. We would say shachianu on that. Now the Gemara says, minala da'avdin on zeichel mikdash. How did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai know that you're allowed to make a mitzvah zeichel mikdash? Rabbi Yochanan Dalmakra, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, ki a'ale aruka lecha, when I heal you, umi makotecha erpa'echa, and when I make you feel better from the blows you've received, Ne'um Hashem, ki nidcha arulach, because you were called nidcha, pushed off, you know, ignored, tzion hi doresh ein la. Tzion it is, and there is no doresh, there's no one seeking out tzion. Says the Gemara, doresh ein la, michlal debaya drisha. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, from this pasuk you see that tzion needs a doresh. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who lived right after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, really was the father of rabbinic Judaism in the sense that, yeah, he said, we have to now adapt Judaism to a post-temple period, and we're going to do things to recall the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine Sukkot, how different it would be now if you, after the first day, you put away your lulav and esrog. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, no, we're going to do this, it's going to remind us of the Beis HaMikdash. The thing is, it's happy. We just did another one of these happy things. What'd you do at the Seder? You ate matzah. That was a mitzvah d'oraisa. You made a bracha. You ate maror. That was a mitzvah d'rabanan. You made a bracha. Then what? What'd you say? Zecher l'mikdash kehila. Right? Kein asa. Did you feel sad when you did that? Did you cry? We didn't. We leaned.
We leaned, yeah.
We did all, you know, it was a happy thing.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, you see that there is a zeicha lemikdash that's happy, and the Rav Soloveitcher said, and the pasuk is brought in this Gemara in Sukkot. We read, "Tzion hi doresh ein la, michlal debaya drisha." That Tzion needs to be recalled and needs to be recalled joyously. Nope, not yet. Number eight, but the Rav said there's another type of recollection of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's a sad one. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Samach Amid Beis, has a big machlokes about these people who wanted to, who were so sad over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, said, we'll never drink wine again. Right? We'll never drink, we'll never have bread, we'll never have fruit, we'll never have water, you know. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, correct. So here's the end of that. Elakach amru chachamin. Sad adam et beito besid. Right? You plaster the inside walls of your house, umishayer bo davar muat. That's unplastered as a zeichel lechorban. Amrochis, second line. Osa adam kol tzarchei suda. You have a fancy meal. Umishayer davar muat. Leave over something. You know, no dessert tonight. Zeichel lechorban. A woman gets dressed. She leaves off one piece. Zeichel lechorban. What's the source? Bottom line. Shene'emar. Says the Rav, you have to be very careful. There are two types of remembrances, and there are two psukim that support them. One is Zecher LeMikdash. That's what Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai did, and that's based on the pasuk of Tzion Hi Doresh Ein La. That's Zecher LeMikdash. But then there's a thing called Zecher LeChorban. And that's based on the pasuk of Imeshkachech Roshan Tishkach Yemini. Zecher LeMikdash is joyous. Right? When you take a lulav, when you eat korech, you imagine how great it was when there was a Beis HaMikdash and when you were having Karban Pesach, whatever. On Tisha B'Av, you're not imagining how beautiful it was. On Tisha B'Av, you're broken, you're sad. It's Zecher LeChorban. Right? When you put ashes on your forehead under the chuppah, when you leave the thing unplastered, all these. Says the Rav, you have to figure out which one is which. It's clear that in the Balamar's telling, and in Amei Shita in the Gemara, for some reason, the Drabanan of Sfira Sa'om Bizman Hazeh is somehow Zecher LeChorban and not Zecher LeMikdash. That Ameimar says, we're only going to count days. Why? It's such a big deal to count weeks, but when we only count days, it's a reminder to us of what we're missing. It's a reminder that what we're going through now is not what, you know, is not what it should have been, is not what it always was. Without reading it inside, Tosfos says in source number 9 in Megillah Chaf Amud Beis that when you finish, I will just read the very end of it. Let's go middle of the second line. Va'achashibirech al hasfira Omer yehi ratzon shibaneh beit hamikdash merav yamein. Okay, ask Tosfos a good question. How come on other mitzvahs drabana we don't finish by saying yehi ratzon shibaneh beit hamikdash merav yamein, right? Velulav. He says hainu taima lefi she'ein eila hazkara ata lebinyan beit hamikdash. He says, when you blow shofar, when you take a lulav, that's an act. I would say as follows: you're copying the joyous act that was done in the Beis Hamikdash. Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. So the act itself generates joy. But he says, what are you doing when you count Sfira Somer? There's no act associated with it. You're just saying something, and the saying of the thing does nothing but generate negative, you know, sad feelings. So it's interesting. There is no other mitzvah drabanan that's universally followed by the phrase yehi ratzon milfanei, you know, sheibaneh beit hamikdash merav yameinu. It shows you that Sfira Sa'omer really is a type of zecher lemikdash but slash zecher lechorban. It's different than all the other mitzvahs. And therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say shechianu, because there's no joy associated with it. Now, also one second.
A very nervous period in our...
Right. Historically. So, the point I wanted to make is it's true. Forget the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, which, by the way, probably happened, you know, 100 years later. It's not that long in history. But what I want to suggest is Chazal never would have had the guts to change the happy period of Sfira Soma, the Chol HaMoed that the Ramban describes in the Torah, to a sad thing, unless it was happening on its own. Unless in the normal growth of halacha and the normal development of halacha, something that used to be a joyous period, you know, a period that celebrated I would say Sfira Soma was a Beis HaMikdash centric mitzvah, right? Because you were counting from Karban HaOmer, brought only in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously, to Karban Shtei Alechem, brought only in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously. And so, you know, it's hard for, we don't think in those terms, but if you were after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it became a sad period of time. It's like Lahavdil. When somebody loses a spouse, I assume your anniversary goes from being a joyous occasion to a time that generates pain. Right? The more focused you are on what you lost, and certain times in the year force you to focus. So my theory is, and you know, there's got to be some truth to it, is that on its own, the days changed in their nature. And even we, you see, here's the part that may not be true, but I think is. We don't paskin like Amemar. You could throw all this out the window. The Baal HaMoed didn't paskin like Amemar. We paskin days and weeks. But I think the point is, so what? Amemar's point remains. We just think he exaggerated it. You can mimic the mitzvah d'oraisa, or even do it. Now, I have to say this. Within the Rambam, all this must be wrong. Because the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah of Sfira Soma is drabanan. It's not zecher lemikdash. It's not, you know, most Rishonim hold that it's drabanan. And so what I'm saying holds true for most Rishonim. It does not hold true for the Rambam. It can't hold true for the Rambam. Because the Rambam thinks it's d'oraisa. I completely agree. Now, one last Rav idea. We won't read it inside. If you read number 10 in the Sefer HaChinuch, it's really beautiful. It could be that over time, you know, the nature of Sfira Somer changed. For us, if you ask any kid, if you ask me, what's Sfira Somer counting from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah? Right? And there's no question that that's true. There's also no question it's not explicit in the Torah. That doesn't bother me at all. I think it's obvious that that's how it worked. The Torah has reasons for shifting focus. But the Rav has a very, very beautiful idea which makes Sfira Somer happier but still answers the Shechiana question. The simplest answers are the ones that you suggested, I think, with the twist, which is, if you're afraid of missing a night, you know, so making a Shechianu is a dangerous thing because now you have another maybe Brachal of Atala. So it could be that they, you know, they just put it within the Pesach Shechianu, or more likely the Meiri says they put it in the Shavuos Shechianu, which is better. You know, we finally got there. I've said this before, but I really, it's so anticlimactic. The first time I was in shul on the 49th night, and I made it. You know, like you say the bracha, and then everybody just goes home. Like there should be some ceremony. Like you made it. You know. There should be something that happened. So the answer is, of course, but it's not. It's the next night is a celebration, right? When you say Shechianu the next night, and you have in mind that I made it, there is a joy involved. But the Rav said a different thing, and when you think about it, it's so true. The point of counting is to get to the end, right? There's nothing inherently valuable that today's the 10th day. Well, if you do the math, you know, I got 39 days, right? The Chinuch says one of the reasons we count up is because it would be depressing to count down.
I'll leave the Kodesh.
No, that's true, but that's not what he says. He says, you know, 49, if you said there's 49 days to go, you'd be sad, there's so many days to go. It's a big discussion. I think it has to do with the fundamental focus between European sports and American sports. Right? When you turn on a game and there's a clock, it tells you there's 8 minutes left, right? You turn on a soccer game and it says 8 minutes. You got to do math.
Count down.
Wait, it's 8 minutes. How many?
Yeah.
It's 4 minutes till halftime. Now 60 minutes, but it could be extra time. It's very confusing, right? So normally for people who grew up in America, counting down is for us because we're morons, right? I don't have to do math. So the Chinuch says they don't because disappointed because you know how many days to go. It'd be sad. But here's the thing, says the Rav, imagine if you said on the first night, what's the bracha? Shechayanu v'kimanu v'yigyanu lazman hazeh. But the whole point of counting is not lazman hazeh. It's for 50 days from now. So the Rav said, you could hold on to all nice ideas that Sfir HaSomer, you don't have to buy into this Baal HaMor, that Sfir HaSomer is depressing, and therefore Shechayanu is happy, so we don't say Shechayanu. You could buy into the simple idea that Shechayanu is inappropriate in a mitzvah whose sole purpose is forward-looking. Every other mitzvah that we do, we say, thank you, God, for allowing me to be here today to do this mitzvah. Thank you, God, for letting me get to the 10th day of the Omer.
Hanukkah, right? We say this shutting out at the beginning.
Good.
Hanukkah.
What are we counting towards? There's a mitzvah on the
towards
first... No, we're not. Okay. Nobody goes, hey, I'm not going to be home the 7th night, I'm on a flight. Should I light menorah tonight? With respect to Sfir HaSomer, that's a fair question. With respect to Hanukkah, not. So in the end, one second. So in the end, I think all of these ideas are in play. I think there's no question, when we started in the Torah, Sfir HaSomer was incredibly happy. It was a period that bridged, you know, this very important time in the Beis HaMikdash. It was happy. And the Ramban says so. I think on its own it changed, because it was such a Beis HaMikdash-centric mitzvah. And maybe it's true that the focus changed more to Yitzias Mitzrayim, to Matan Torah, than Karban HaOmer, to Karban Shtei Lechem, for that reason. But I think that was the way we even got to this Rabbi Akiva thing. The only way Chazal would have had the guts to change happy to sad was because it was already happening on its own. And the natural growth, the natural progression, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, Sfir HaOmer changed. No Shechianu, maybe it's only Drabanan, maybe it's only Zeichel LaMikdash. And again here, the two types of Zeichel LaMikdash, which I think was a brilliant idea by the Rav, there are things that remind me of the glory of the Beis HaMikdash, and those are happy, even though they're Zeichel LaMikdash. And that's a pasuk of Tzion Hi Doresh Ein La. And there are things that remind me of Churban Beis HaMikdash, Zeichel LaChurban, and they're sad. And nobody would ever think, why don't we say Shechianu on Tisha B'Av? So I think both of these things are in play. Both of these things explain the machloksim with respect to Sfir HaSomer. And I think both of them are feelings we should strive to. I think there should be feelings of joy as we approach Matan Torah. And I think it's so probably appropriate to remember also the fact that it used to be a time of a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, and it no longer is.
The Imamah position of not doing something seems to conjure up, you know, you're missing an activity. When we take Lulavetrig, you know, all the days, the first generation may do it as a remembrance, but after a while, you do it, you no longer link it to the bit of it, because now you're actually doing what was done.
Good.
By not doing, there's a way of kind of missing something.
Good. So maybe that's pshat ha'amira. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes more sense than actually doing.
I
think.
You could just say, I actually agree with the point you just made.
Oh, wow.
It wouldn't hurt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.